hot is, I like to think of myself as hot. I'm not cold. I'm hot, man. I'm hot for Jesus. Right? Hot for the gospel. Hot for the things of God. I want it. I got to have it. I give it to me now. Right? Let's all be hot. I will spew thee out of my mouth, lukewarm, bleh, tepid. Give it to me on ice, or give it to me under flame. But I will not have this lukewarmness. And what is it? It's sort of like, it's basically like, yeah, I believe, but I live my life like an agnostic or an atheist. Let's just talk about two different kinds of atheists. The kind that is philosophically atheistic. I mean, they do not believe there is a God. They positively deny that. And then they're the kind that are practical atheists. They do not philosophically deny that there is a God, but in their works of their life, they deny there is a God. That is the practical atheist. The Christian who says he believes there is a God, but conducts his life as if he does not believe there is a God. This mixture of cold, practical unbelief with professions of faith creates a lukewarm mixture which God finds nauseating. They are not enthusiastic about their faith, about what they're doing. They say they believe, but really they're concerned with other things. Let's look at verse 17. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's how it is. What else distracts the minds of man and the riches and the blessings and the goods of this world? I said, it's very tempting to go out there and just be like, hey, you know, why worry about the kingdom of God when I should just worry about what I can build here on earth? What can I earn? What can I have? What can I possess? And we spend all our lives running after those things, not realizing that spiritually we are wretched creatures. We are miserable in the sight of God. Unclothed, poor, no sight. You know, it's a very destitute state. I mean, you know, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. I mean, that's five of the worst statuses you could throw on somebody. But they think of themselves as, hey, I've got all this stuff. I'm increased with goods. You know, they've got their 96-inch platinum screen TV or whatever. I don't know. They got their big old platinum screen TV. They got the entertainment center. They got their three cars, three new cars, not old beaters. They got their sports this, their sports that, their vacations, and the living the high life. Oh, but they love Jesus. Oh, I do. I love him. Look at all the good he's done to me. I'm so rich and increased goods. In fact, most American Christians, to them, the sign of God's blessing is financial prosperity. That's why, honestly, I don't really talk much about my financial status online or in my Bible studies, because my enemies will start saying, look it, you see, God is against him. Because if God was for him, he would be rolling in the dough like us. Because they equate financial prosperity with the blessing of God. When I'm critical of my former pastor, they say, oh, well, he's got, look at his ministry. God has blessed his ministry so much. The funny thing is, a lot of times I think I'm like making off like a bandit with all this. Well, the truth is, over the past year, you know, total donations would not be more than $200 or $300, let's say. From the perspective of most churches where pastors, even of small churches, make six-figure salaries often, it's very, very poor. I don't generally advertise it, but I'm not ashamed of it either. I mean, I don't care what they say. Let them talk. If they're listening to this study, I'm glad. The point is that they view financial prosperity, as the Pharisees often did, as, you know, that means God is for you. God is obviously on your side. Look at all the good stuff he throws you. Yes, I've got my fancy car, my fancy house, my fancy wife, my fancy everything. Well, he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. This is gold with no impurities in it, you know, that you may be rich. Buy something from me, the gold that I sell. Christ isn't really selling gold. I always think it's funny when people start talking about the end times and like, buy gold, invest in gold. Don't you know what the prophets say about the gold? That they're going to be throwing their gold and their silver to the moles and to the bats, to go into the cliffs of the rocks, to the tops of the ragged rocks, to hide from the fear of the Lord and from the glory of His majesty when He arises to shake terribly the earth. They're going to be hiding and cowering in caves. They'll be taking their gold and flinging it from them.
I always think it's funny when I see pastors advising people to invest in gold. Ah, yes, you can really trust in gold. Put your trust in gold. Gold will save you in the time of trouble. Why, everybody wants gold. Gold has such intrinsic value, does it?
Cold metal is only worth so much in bad situations. Can't get water. Water can be more precious than gold. People may not want to trade for it. Oh, the gold. Well, that'll be great when people care again. When I need jewelry again. But the gold that Christ is talking about is spiritual gold. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves neither break in nor steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. What he's saying is their heart is in the world. It is in the treasures they have obtained. It is in their riches. Their heart has gone after covetousness. They're living like they do not know that He is there, and yet they have this lukewarm sort of, yes, we are a church, we believe in God, but they are not hot about it, and they aren't cold about it. They're just in between. So he's saying, buy the true gold. Add your faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, temperance, to temperance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Because this is the true goal, the true riches. If you cannot be faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Who? They are covetous and self-serving in the unrighteous mammon. And he's saying, you need to seek the true riches. But Christ is selling. He's selling gold. He's selling clothing. He has balm for the eyes to open them.
What is that worth to you? Is that worth anything to you? Do you place a value on it? Because that's the point, is that if you want to spend money on something of worth, then spend money on what Christ offers. What it means, that which has true value is what He offers. That's where you ought to be spending your efforts and energy, on the true riches, to obtain them. What, at what price to see the truth? At what price to be clothed in the white garment of the righteous? At what price? What price do you put on that? What is it worth to you? Is it worth anything to you? It is beyond price. It is beyond price.
As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent.